everybody, and welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 12. We are the podcast every week that picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here every week with my co-host,
Tyler.
And we're going to talk about, I guess, just the things that we kind of have conversations about every week. And we actually kind of have a couple of things that we wanted to get into, because that seems to be kind of our tactic week to week, is how we actually make this podcast, is just jotting down notes of things that we have extended conversations about until Tyler says, or I say, maybe we should just put this on the podcast doc.
Which always makes the rest of the conversation kind of weird.
Yeah, like, because it's like, we're wasting it.
Yeah, like, we could be recording this, but, okay. I don't know if anybody would actually listen to
unedited.
Yeah, like, unedited, like, yeah, like, just random recordings of actual conversation. I mean, not that these aren't actual conversations, but in the moment ones.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I think people, the reason that the podcast came around is because we are two people who just have extended conversations about things all the time. Like, and I'm sure everybody's like, oh yeah, that sounds real fucking fascinating. But like, that's kind of our friendship, is just like, we talk about stuff ad nauseum. Like, oh, this is what I'm into. This is what I'm into. Like, that sort of thing. And the podcast was just kind of a natural extension of that, really.
Yeah.
But it, we had to kind of like whittle it down a little bit to make it like good podcasting and not like just,
yeah,
three
we still
hours.
Vet the topics.
The topics.
Make sure, like, is this actually like, are we going to really just talk about WoW like again right after the last episode or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's interesting because I think there are so many moments that we have off mic that are really interesting conversations that I kind of wish we could bottle in the moment and put on the podcast. But people are just going to have to wonder in mystery what those conversations are, because,
yeah,
you know.
You have to be a Patreon subscriber. I'm just kidding.
We don't have a Patreon. I know. But, like, we, you know, I guess that's just kind of always how things have been, is just, we just talk about stuff a lot because we just think about things a lot. And that's, you know, kind of how we are.
Yeah, some of it is just like figuring out, like, did you feel this way about this thing? Because I thought this wasn't good, or I thought this was actually really cool. And it, yeah, usually that ends up being a conversation.
Yeah, it's, we spend so many hours on voice chat.
They have like a thing to record Discord voice chats, but I just, you know, you wouldn't want that for every random person that joins, and also it'd be constantly running. But you could, you know, we could do it, but I don't know.
Yeah,
about that.
Exactly. So why don't we actually get down to business instead of talking? Let's actually talk about some things on our thing. But to kind of start off, you've been playing Hollow Knight, which again, I'm super not surprised at you playing Hollow Knight, but you didn't like it as much, I guess?
I don't know. I haven't played it a ton. I'm only like maybe a few hours into it. It's, well, I guess the setup is, it's like, it's a 2D... Yeah, it's 2D, right? Yeah, it's 2D. It's a 2D, like, platformer, like, kind of like a side-scrolling kind of platformer, kind of like a Mario game, but it has, like, RPG elements to it. Like, you can equip things. You have, like, a sword and everything, and that's, like, your basic form of attacking, and you can jump around. There's lots of movement stuff, but it's very much like a Dark Souls game. That seems to be the clear, I guess, like, reference they're making, is like, hey, we really liked the Dark Souls game, what if we sort of turned it into a 2D game? And and that's what always has been like part of the recommendation from people about Hollow Knight, is that, hey, it's like Dark Souls, which there's a lot of games recently, well, maybe not immediately recently, but that came after Dark Souls that definitely were inspired by it. A lot of the big things that people take away from Dark Souls are like, you know, if you die, you have to, like, you go back to the beginning of the level or something, and you gotta go get your stuff back, which I think Hollow Knight has, and hard bosses, and, you know, punishing difficult enemies. But the big thing that a lot of those games miss is a lot of the atmosphere. Like, a lot of the games do seem sort of dark, but they don't really completely, I don't know, they're not very thorough about the like, because we've talked about that a lot, which is like my favorite part about Dark Souls is the story stuff and like the the way it plays with its narrative, the like typical narrative of like an action RPG of like you're the hero kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you even saw like playing, I mean, you didn't get that deep into Dark Souls, but you even saw that like, oh, there's like kind of a little bit more like texture going on here than maybe your typical like fantasy game.
Yeah, that's always been the thing you've emphasized more so than anything when talking about quote unquote I think we should be clear, is I think there's a lot of games that want to be a Dark Souls alike, but they lack that actual like aesthetic and they lack the story and the narrative focus, yeah, which is interesting.
There's something so intertwined about the way this aesthetic of Dark Souls and the story like work mm-hmm. together that I always find that lacking in a lot of games, but surprise. So I guess the point is like, that Hollow Knight actually seems to find something there. Like the immediately when you start that game, it you're alone. You're like this little character with like a mask on. He kind of looks like he has like two horns almost, or I don't know. And it's just very quiet. And there's like these enemies that don't really say anything, and they look creepy, and you're just sort of fighting through. But you come upon like this character, this NPC, and you talk to them and they make like little noises to sort of like signify, you know, they're talking, but you don't actually hear like English or anything.
Yeah.
And just the way the writing is sounds like, oh, this person, this character has been here and they know a lot of stuff, but they're not, you know, no person is just going to tell you their life story. That's not how people, you know, talk. And he's just sort of saying like, hey, like you're here and like, there's some horrible things down there. I mean, if you want to go down there, go ahead. And it just has that feeling that Dark Souls always has, which is like, nobody really cares a lot about you. Like they'll help you if you need it, but they don't really care. Like mm-hmm. There's like a disconnect. Cause like a lot of games are just like, oh my gosh, you're the hero. You got to save us. And a lot of Dark Souls NPCs talk to you just like, yeah, like it's horrible, this place sucks, like do whatever you feel like, I guess, because I'm not really gonna help you, like I can tell you where to go, but that's it.
There's a lack of like centering the protagonist, like you might not even be a protagonist so much. I mean, you're a protagonist,
you are,
in as much as you push
to the point where when you do get that centering, yeah, and it's to the point where in Dark Souls when you do get that centering, it feels weird, and it's supposed to be like, wait, why are you suddenly saying like I'm supposed to save everyone? Everyone usually doesn't care. That's weird.
Yeah, but unlike other fantasy games, you aren't immediately recognized by the rest of the world as having this great and important task.
Yeah, because like I always think of like Dragon Age, because Dragon Age is like you're the Inquisitor, you know, like you have this magical, this magical green power.
Champion.
Yeah, you're the champion. You're Shepard from Mass Effect. Like everything is so. I mean, not that those things are bad. It's just different, you know.
And it's a different way that the world shapes itself around a single person.
Yeah, which is a lot of games. Like it's not even RPGs. Like a lot of games just treat you so much like the hero, which is it's sometimes interesting to not be that or to be have that subverted. And Hollow Knight feels like that a little bit. It doesn't feel like you're the savior. It just feels like you're a person here, and if you want to give it a shot, go ahead. And I like that. But the problem I think that I really have with Hollow Knight so far is that I don't really like 2D game. Like I'm not very into like the Castlevania or like Metroid style games. Castlevania or well, what do they call them? Like Metroidvania.
Metroidvanias, which I think is the most asinine.
That name doesn't even really mean anything either. Like if you actually
you
think
have
about
to
it,
know what Metroid and Castlevania.
But even
are,
if you do
what?
Know what those are, it's not a good.
It's not a good term because it fundamentally relies on two games in order to define what those two games are about.
Platformer,
and it's
2D Mario-like sort of game. Like essentially the definition of that is just like, you know, going through a maze of these rooms, and they have stuff that you go back to, you backtrack to the earlier level rooms essentially.
And a lot of games seem to have an obsession with the 2D. Like the 2D
there's a whole set of like 2D games that were like Dark Souls like where it's like, oh well, instead of making these, because Dark Souls obviously is a 3D game and it's very dense, like there's a lot of hidden stuff in the game, and so that's why I think naturally a lot of game developers went like, oh, we can do this in like a 2D game. It's because I mean Dark Souls is clearly like, you know, inspired by like Castlevania and Metroid, like you know, it has that kind of like sensibility, like design sensibility of like, let's have people scour around our environments and find things and figure out little tricks and stuff. And so that makes sense that they would go 2D. It's just that something about that to me, and I forget how we got to this point, but when we were talking in our Discord call earlier this week, I just said, like, I think it's the way 2D is like an abstraction of like the environment compared to 3D, where 3D is more realistic, and like disconnect from having an actual castle like above you, you know, before you in Dark Souls, versus like, oh, this giant wall that's like off the screen that is just flat is like, you're told it's a castle, and when you enter, it feels, I don't know how else to describe it other than video gamey, which maybe isn't the greatest way, but it feels sort of weird because there's like these platforms scattered throughout the rooms, and it just doesn't feel realistic. Like in Dark Souls, if you enter a castle, you know, there's going to be like a, you know, a huge staircase or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like big pillars and stuff, and you know, there's two, maybe like another floor, and there's knights above it and looking down at you, shooting arrows at you or something like that. But in this game, it's like there's a bunch of levels, and you got to do this jumping puzzle to the top of the like room, and there's like these monsters there, and you kill them, and something about that to me, I understand that there's, and a lot of people like Hollow Knight, so I feel bad about like not liking it.
Because I think a lot of people like puzzle platformers, and
yeah.
If you don't like puzzle platformers, you're not going to really get on that train.
It's hard for me because I get so into playing Dark Souls and looking around any Souls game, even Bloodborne, and like looking around the environments and being like, wow, that's really cool that like, you know, this giant, I mean, I keep saying castle, there's not like a million castles in Dark Souls, but it's the easiest reference of like any kind of building. It's just like, oh, that's so cool that like, I didn't know this like secret room was down here. And that makes sense because I could always hear this monster down here from above or something like that. You know what I mean? And then and in Hollow Knight, it's just, there's something about it that to me that feels like I can't have that experience because, I mean, you can in a different way, I guess. And there's no realistic to the environment, so it just feels like it's a puzzle to be sort of jumped around in and like, you know, fight. It feels like each room you're dealing with it, I don't know, it feels sort of like not arbitrary, but each room feels like a video game like jumping puzzle that you like kill enemies in, and that's satisfying on its own right, but it doesn't feel realistic enough to sort of reward you for like exploring, even though it does in different ways. It just doesn't have that kind of, it really is just the abstraction of like real environments versus like a bunch of separated suspended platforms that just,
well,
it takes me away from the story.
I think it's because with 3D and representations of 3D, what you're grappling with here sounds like the lack of the Z-axis, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's,
but even like the architecture just, yeah, I guess it's the lack of Z-axis because it just doesn't show.
You can go either backwards or forwards.
Yeah.
Or up and down. Like,
right. And I hate to say that because it's like, it sounds like I'm reducing the game because there's a bunch of like mechanics about like jumping and using like the slash to jump, or like the weapon to jump like higher off of enemies and stuff like that. And there's like, I think there's maybe a double jump later
but
on.
But it's not the same.
But
it's not the same. It's not the same. And I think that 3D gives us more of that space to play around with and more of that organic feeling of like turning the camera around,
yeah.
So it's a little bit closer
camera
to that.
Camera tricks can be done. There's a lot of camera tricks in Dark Souls of like, oh, you didn't see these enemies around the corner because your camera usually just looks forward and you didn't turn around.
So if you are somebody who is invested in that like slightly closer to cinematic feeling, that slightly close, like that feeling of organic exploration where you're like walking around something or walking down steps, but you're still on
walking down steps in Dark Souls can be terrifying because it could be dark down there. You have no idea what's down there. There could be something to the left of you, to the right of you, above you on the wall, like, you know. And then in Hollow Knight,
it
it's just
the space real and terrifying,
right? And there's something really, like, there's really, it's, everybody hates the word, like, visceral, but there's just something really, like, I guess, like, tangible about that. Like, there's something, like, really real feeling to that, especially since the game, Dark Souls really pays attention to what you're able to see and what you're not able to see. And just, I don't know, I mm-hmm. just can't get over Hollow Knight just feeling so much of like a spooky sort of Castlevania game, which, I mean, those games have a lot of kind of atmosphere and like on their own right, but it just doesn't have, it doesn't feel quite Dark Souls to me. And I guess the problem with Hollow Knight for me is it's really close to being like Dark Souls, but it's honestly just the way, it's just that it's 2D that kind of ruins it for me, because I can't super get into all the dialogue, like talking about this great city or this horrible city and these like depths below that sound horrible and everything. It just doesn't really bring me in as much, which it sucks, because it feels like the writing is actually pretty interesting and sort of deft like Dark Souls is, because Dark Souls just mm-hmm. has a level of writing that I just really adore, because it's so, I don't know, it's almost poetic to me. Like, it just, like the characters just say stuff that is so weird sometimes, but it makes sense later on, or you have to sort of sit there and like think about like, what did they even mean by that? Like, what is the Bell of Awakening? What, I don't even know what that is. Like, do I have to, what is that? What does that mean? What does it awaken? You know, stuff like that. And there's dialogue, like there's writing in Hollow Knight that feels like that. So it's really, I love that, but I can't get over playing it. And that's another thing about Dark Souls that I super don't love a lot, surprisingly, I think, for people, is I don't really care about the combat that much. I know the combat's like really good and I like appreciate it being good, but I just love Dark Souls for just like the look and the atmosphere, like I said, in the narrative. So
the combat is everything that I, like, before I met you, basically, the combat is the only thing I ever heard about people talking about, because I think that that's one of the things that, like, gamer-ass gamers like to focus on. Yeah. Is like, oh, how punishing and how much skill you need to, like, really pick
right,
up the
and,
combat.
Like, you can play different ways, which is cool. Yeah, all that stuff
is,
like,
cool.
Interesting, yeah.
But people always would talk about that, and if it's the story and the aesthetic for you, I can understand why Hollow Knight falls a little
right because Hollow Knight might, like in terms of the mechanics and stuff, it is cool. Like, there's like it, they use a lot of tricks and stuff with 2D, like it feels like a really like tight and like satisfying platform. Like, it had like boss fights like challenge you to move around and jump over them, and like it, I mean, not that no game has done this before, but it does have like a lot of depth to that, but it's just stuff I don't care about.
Yeah, and it kind of sounds like, and I don't fault Hollow Knight for being 2D, and I don't fault people for being into 2D games, because a lot of what happens with 2D games is often 2D games are just so much easier to produce.
Oh yeah.
You like it
totally.
Having an engine handle 2D graphics and things of that nature is so much easier.
It's also
than
a really good, like, not a, I don't, it's like a good template to do a lot on, like to put a lot of like your creative ideas onto, because they're like
versus
Hollow Knight is unlike a lot of 2D games, because it has a lot going on, but
having to dress a 3D space requires so many more resources and resources for the engine, resources for people to design levels, design all of the texturing, all of the like object placement and, you know, scripting and things for enemies and things like that. Like, it's so much bigger. And so I think in that way, you know, it'd be kind of unfair to 100% stack Hollow Knight versus Dark Souls. But on the other hand, even in the little bit of Dark Souls that I've played, just walking through that one section of the sort of the ramparts around the castle in that first part, there are enemies on a narrow walkway ahead of me that I can see. I know that there are more enemies beyond in a room that I can sort of visually see. There are enemies above on a turret shooting arrows down at me.
Yeah.
And those things are super important, and that's what I think you're trying to get at.
Yeah.
Is that there,
it's like this
that
different
space,
possibility
that danger
space.
Of
yeah.
the space. Yeah, exactly. The danger of possibility, the you know, possibility spaces we're talking about, like the universe of all the things you could be doing that game, and then the literal possibility space, the like danger that kind of infests Dark Souls at literally every angle.
Yeah.
Versus something like Hollow Knight, where it feels like it's either up, down, left, or right.
Right.
You know, or below, you know, vaguely, you know, so.
And it feels
that makes sense to
me. It feels abstracted so much from the 3D that it just feels like I'm playing a spooky like arcade game, which I don't know. I just really don't like, it's such a hard like criticism for me because there are other 2D games that I like or like games with like more simplified looks to them or whatever that I can get with. I mean, like even Minecraft, like it doesn't bother me that the grass looks like pixels. It still feels like grass mm-hmm. to me, kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I just, it's hard for me, but it just, for this specific aesthetic and the way, the direction Hollow Knight wants to go, it doesn't work for me. And it's hard for me to get into it.
That sucks, because I know that, like, I heard a lot of people talking about Hollow Knight. Yeah, and they were like, oh, it's very Dark Souls. And I said, oh, Tyler might like this.
And it is. Actually, the writing is, like, really interesting. Like, I want to see more of that. That's the hard part, is I'm having, because that's my thing with Dark Souls, is, like, some of my issue with Dark Souls is getting through the combat to just see more of the story stuff. And Hollow Knight, I just don't know if I can do it, because I really want to see more of the story stuff, but there's just a lot. Because when you do 2D games, because there's such a simplification and there's not, like, the ability to have so much detail, there's a lot more sort of gameplay in it. There's a lot more fighting and jumping and stuff in it than like Dark Souls, where there are sections in Dark Souls where it's like, oh, you're just in the hub and you're just talking to people for 20 minutes. And in Hollow Knight, it's like you're traveling through a couple rooms you've been in before for 20 minutes and just jumping over enemies or killing them, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah.
It's harder to get through. So
yeah, it's interesting, because I know that there have been I would say that there are so many games that really want to be like spiritual successors to Dark Souls and Bloodborne and things of that nature. But it's really funny, because like, I feel like you're kind of like my litmus test. You're kind of like my like barometer of like whether something is actually like a spiritual, you know, successor or like a twin or like related to Dark Souls.
I think most games actually miss the point of what Dark Souls is about.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because when people kept saying this is like Dark Souls, I was like, oh, is Tyler going to pick this up? But then I remembered kind of like, yeah, you don't really like puzzle platformers at all.
And I so just haven't, like, there is not a single like Dark Souls game, unless you're calling Bloodborne like Dark Souls, that I've liked.
But even Bloodborne is different than Dark Souls in some
ways.
But
Bloodborne still has that adherence to a narrative.
Well, because it's made by the same developer.
I know. It still really deeply understands what is compelling about Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So on to other gripes about RPGs. On our, you know, things that we don't like about RPGs, or things that we, you know, like out of RPGs.
RPGs are, I think it's actually really interesting to consider when we get deeper into this one, like the weird way we use RPG as like a genre right now, because it's so vast now. Like it's not specific anymore at all. Like, I don't know. It's interesting.
I think at some point RPG, because let's to be clear, RPG stands for role playing mm-hmm. game. When really a lot of what people talk about with RPG
is stats, strength and intellect,
stats and gear acquisition.
Yeah.
Versus really embodying a role.
And I think a lot of people mistake. Oh, my shoulder pads of the whale make me more of my character in my head. But that isn't, maybe for some people that is something that they can get with, but I guess it sometimes feels a little bit...
It depends.
Yeah, it's like, tough.
Character to some people is power, and character to some people is story. And I think good RPGs do both.
Yeah.
But I think that RPG has sort of strayed so much like immersive sim has. I still have no fucking idea what immersive sim means at all.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't actually know what it means. I know what game, I could like bring up games, but I
don't actually know what that, it's the most nonsense word, like it's just a word grouping that have no bearing on
simulation
actually conveying
can be
anything.
And being immersed into it is sort of what you'd want to do with a video game.
Being immersed in something, am I being dunked?
Well, I don't know if I don't know if the name means you're being like. I don't know. Yeah, this is the reason why it's bad.
A simulation that is immersive. What does that fucking mean? How do we define immersive? What is the simulation in question? Is House Flipper an immersive sim? Like, I don't know. But for RPGs and the discussion we're going to have, we're talking about something that I think did define RPGs on a massive scale. You almost might call it a multiplayer online RPG.
Yeah. We're done with this podcast.
We're going to talk about World of Warcraft again, but we're actually not going to talk about some of the stuff that we were talking about before. We're actually going to talk about kind of something that's been a little bit controversial with World of Warcraft. Shocking. Not about their story, but actually about...
For once, yeah.
We're going to talk about how the World of Warcraft developers have been fiddling with character power scaling, basically, and gear progression.
Well, the funny thing is they haven't been fiddling with it. It's just people have figured it out, which is similar to what happened with Destiny, where people figured out you gained XP slowly or whatever. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah.
And they didn't change it, but they were just like, oh yeah, sorry, we make it slow for you to level so you feel strong or whatever. Or, like, it feels like you're making progress, which is just an interesting way. There's a lot of things in games that developers maybe don't talk about that make you feel something that maybe seems, like, counterintuitive. But, yeah, I guess, I mean, the big thing with, like, so World of Warcraft, like, you know, you level up, and the highest level now and with the new expansion is 120. And the big thing about the game since the last expansion, like, mid to late last expansion, they implemented this thing where the game scales. So, like, enemies that were maybe like enemies that you fight are always like a similar level or the same level as you, but maybe like you know easy still to kill because they're just like enemies, but they actually meet like your gear and stuff, so the intention is that like when you're doing like content for like maybe world quests every day or something, it feels like a challenge. But this is the first time that scaling has been implemented during a leveling process. And this is something you and I definitely experienced even on our streams, where as you're leveling up, you know, we're maybe 106, it'd be like 116 or something. And we'd be fighting level 116 enemies, but those enemies could be, you know, like level, you know, 115 or whatever, if we were level before. But the problem is that they want you to be able to go to any location to level up in the new expansion. So that makes sense. So you can pick where you want to go, and maybe you can stop midway through one and go to the other one. And that's really cool. But the issue is that like the way the scaling works is you don't ever feel very strong ever. Like you always feel like you're just even with the enemies you're fighting. And so
it never feels easier.
Yeah. So it never feels easier. It always feels like you're fighting enemies and it takes the same amount of time, which I get. Like, I think Blizzard goes like, well, perfect. Like now you constantly feel like you're working your way through and you feel like you're not just destroying like 16 enemies at once or whatever. But the problem is it's an RPG. Like a big part about RPGs is feeling stronger, and you just never feel that during the leveling experience. And the worst part is, even after the leveling experience, when you start to get even better like items and equipment, and it makes you even stronger, the enemies still scale. So that means that even with like a bunch of like maybe like epic level gear, which is like really good, right? The enemies still are challenging, and like, and where this gets messed up, I guess the key part about this is that like people found out that like if you took off gear, if you took off like a necklace or whatever and just like left it in your bank and went back out to fight those same enemies, they'd be easier because the game wouldn't understand that you actually have those like higher level pieces of like a gear. So and then like what happens also is that you could be fighting like, okay, maybe you're level 120, you're fighting a level 120 enemy, it's taking you, I don't know, what, like 30 seconds to kill them. And then somebody who's like level 117, like because of the way the scaling works, just whatever the numbers are, they fight the same enemy, which is 117 for them, and it takes them 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's just wonky. And it just feel like we went into this, but like it doesn't feel like there's enough power. You're not being rewarded for spending time and increasing your gear. The system keeps constantly meeting you, and it just feels like you're never getting stronger, and so you don't feel rewarded for all the time you're spending. And that's
that power fantasy is eroded
to World of Warcraft.
It's RPGs. Always been like that. Yeah. It's always been like that in World of Warcraft. It's always been like that in RPGs. The idea is that you get stronger because that's the fundamental idea behind the gear grind.
Yeah, that's why you get
better
items,
gear to better. Do they, harder the five content.
Strength, you should feel the difference. Well, maybe not five strength, yeah. But you know, you should feel the difference in gear.
Yeah, you should, because the idea is that you get better gear to do harder challenges, but it also makes the challenges below you easier.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that way. It's simply not that way in World of Warcraft.
It's not that way. Plus, on top of that, there's not a lot of content to do right now. So you're making it extremely hard for people to get the gear to do the content that is available to them, and then there's very little else to do. So a lot of people are like stalling out very quickly. Yeah.
It's a slog to do like these world quests, which are essentially just quests throughout the world that like pop up every day and you just get rewards like items from them, and it's and you're supposed to be doing them. You're supposed to be doing like a set of like, you know, eight or something maybe each day or whatever, you know, however much time you have
you're supposed to do like a couple world quests. They take a long time, and it's like I'm noticing. Granted, I'm a mage. I've always played a mage.
Yeah,
I've played a mage.
We're both squishy classes, but
we're really squishy. But I've played a mage for 14 years now, and I know how long it should or shouldn't take for me to kill something.
Yeah.
Basically at 120.
Like
or
usually
the
at the beginning of an expansion, stuff is a little bit harder.
Because it's the draw that gets you the gear. But then as soon as you get that gear, it starts to soften a bit and it gets easier, and then by the end of the expansion you're supposed to be overpowered god, like miniature gods running around
it's fun.
It's hilarious. It's like it's like the Diablo feeling of like, oh, I've got like 18,000 legendaries,
like running somebody through
gonna...
a Diablo game, like Diablo 3. Like you're just,
exactly. So you're supposed to feel that, and it doesn't feel like that right now, and people have been finding that like you have to basically get a couple pieces of the most highest gear that you can get right now,
which means you'd have to be doing all this stuff every day, like the world quest we were talking about.
You'd have
to be a hardcore player to actually get at that item level, and then start to see where the scaling sort of drops off a bit, and that's not good.
It's garbage.
That's not very good, because so in previous expansions, like they just didn't do this, obviously. But they're like, I guess the thing that people want is, like we said, you want to be able to level up and feel stronger, and you know, it's
tricky. Rewarded for your time.
Yeah, you're rewarded.
You know,
because like before, you could go back to maybe the first area of the new expansion and kind of just destroy everything in there because you were already the max level and everything there was really early, right? And so it's really easy.
Yeah.
And I understand like why Blizzard wouldn't want that necessarily, because that kind of renders a whole place sort of obsolete because it's so easy. But the way they did that before is they just didn't give you very many rewards for being in those areas. The harder enemies that were tougher to play to like kill at the like, you know, higher gear levels, those would give you the actual like, you know, rewards that you would want. And so that's how they sort of rewarded you. Like, yeah, you can go kill 100 of the easier enemies, but it's going to take you longer to get stuff. But instead, they went with a blanket approach and said, like, well, everywhere is challenging, but all the rewards are good, which I kind of like that. But the problem is it just feels off. Like, I think all they have to do is just, like, tweak it a little bit
Address numbers. Yeah. Like,
it doesn't seem that complicated, but maybe not. I don't know.
The problem is that I think with human experience in everything that you put some sort of time into, there's the incline and there's the plateau. And if the plateau is long enough, you eventually stop wanting to go towards the next incline.
Yeah.
Think of it like a runner, because I know we always talk about the treadmill, as it is termed, which is basically the grind, the Skinner box that every MMO and, you know, player finds themselves in, which is the, you know, like you chase after the carrot, but you gotta stay on the treadmill.
I feel like it's any skill. Like it happens in
any skill
you're practicing.
But let's, for the purposes of... You're on the treadmill, so let's go with the treadmill.
There's like dragons on the side.
That's the loop, is you're always chasing after the next thing in things like World of Warcraft or Diablo.
Because there's a lot of times where it's like, ooh, I'm running out of mana. I can't wait till I get better gear to not have to deal with that.
Yeah, so or like, I want more crit, yeah. So my spells will be less streaky or things like that. So, but as somebody who used to be a runner, the idea is that eventually you get better.
Yeah.
Eventually your mile times go down. Eventually you keep running, you can run longer, or you can run faster, or you can do things better or more efficiently. And right now in World of Warcraft, I don't feel like that's the case at all.
Yeah.
The treadmill is broken because you're not getting better at running on the treadmill. You're literally stuck in one place, and you're not even getting better at being stuck in one place. And I think that's what's going
to
cause...
And it feels like it's almost...
A lot of people to fall off.
It feels like it's lying to you in a way, too, because of the way, like, ooh, yes. Here's a big new piece of gear. Here, your item level, which is, like, the sum of, like, how good your gear is, it goes up, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, I am 30 points higher than before. Dang, I'm really good. And it feels exactly the same to fight the same enemies. That's not...
Because the enemies are rising up to meet you, and it's just like, can I get a break? Can I just get a break? And it's... It's hard. I was doing world quests yesterday, and world quests should not be trivial, but they shouldn't be punishing because they're just meant for you to like log in and do a couple.
Yeah.
Just knock some out in 15 minutes. They're
separate from dungeons and raids for a reason because they're supposed to be soloable. Yeah.
They're supposed to be soloable and they're supposed to be quick, with the exception of like
some boss
the ones for like big elites, and you can group up and do those. But I should just be able to go and knock some out. And yesterday I was having to blow 2 and 3 minute cooldowns.
Didn't you die on one? Or was that something before?
I died on one. I died on one. I had to blow 2 and 3 minute cooldowns just because two enemies aggroed onto me.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, you're a mage,
bad.
But still, like, that's just, it's a world quest. Like, and it was probably in an area that we leveled past, or like, technically. Like, we leveled way earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, ugh. It just, it
if
really...
If 2 or 3 enemies get on me, I have to blow every single cooldown just to or I have to kite things for about 3 or 4 minutes, in which time I might run into more enemies,
yeah,
and
that,
I will just
these
die.
Areas are dense, usually. Because there's a lot of people there, so you gotta have a lot of enemies coming up quickly. And
I get more than 3 enemies on me, I will die.
Yeah, same.
I will just die. I will just die. Like,
actually,
no amount of defensive cooldowns, no amount of offensive cooldowns, nothing will save me.
Yeah.
I will just die. And that's bad for a world quest. That is bad. Like, that is really bad design, and that's showing that, like... And I've even gotten more gear, and it doesn't feel easier.
Yeah.
It just
it kills your
worse.
It absolutely kills your motivation to just go out there
absolutely.
And do those. Because it's like, oh, it's going to do world quests again. That's going to take me 3 hours to just do 5, or, you know?
Yeah, like, I was just doing a world quest and then, like, just tabbing out of the game for, like, a couple of minutes because I just didn't even want to think about it.
And it also, it really seeps, like, deep into the design of this, like, expansion because a lot of the incentive, like, they really want you to go do a bunch of world quests because they also want you to, like, level up your special necklace that everybody has that increases time, like, increases power the more of, like, resource you get for it. So it's essentially just,
and
like, an experience bar.
And you have to get resources
bar.
From
the world quests.
Like, island expositions
and
world quests and things like that.
Expeditions.
Yeah, don't even get me started about that. But, like... But
you, why, like, I look at that list, and there's usually, like, I don't know how many world... There's usually, like, 30 world quests or something every day, and it's just, like, I don't...
Yeah, about there, 30 to 40.
I don't want to do half of these. I'll do the one for maybe the better gear, but I don't
feel
like
I've just been hitting the ones for better gear because in my little, like, panicked World of Warcraft rat brain that's what's gonna help me, and it's really not, unfortunately, because it also requires me leveling up that, like, Azerite gear, but...
It really kills motivation, and it just makes this expansion just hard to, like, want to play.
It's fun to... It's fundamentally betraying what RPGs and games of this nature have taught players for decades now.
Yeah.
And it makes it not fun because you're basically ruining what the premise of the game is, which is that that loop gets you somewhere.
Right.
That treadmill. The idea is that even if you're on a treadmill, that the treadmill gets easier at some point, and it's not getting easier right now, which means that, like, people are just going to step off and be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Nothing I'm doing is making a difference. I'm just throwing item levels into the the trash, basically. I think I'm just throwing.
It's interesting that you say
throwing gear at the problem.
It's something that we've gotten really used to, and that's why I think actually the initial use of the like scaling, the level scaling, was actually really smart, because what they did is, like, from a narrative standpoint, like, it happened when the Argus thing happened in Legion, right? So I think it did. And so, and Argus is supposed to be, like, these big demons, like, this demon homeworld area that is supposed to be, like, this is it. This is what we've been, like, trying to fight for, like, two expansions.
This is what we've been training for.
And it was in the middle or, like, the end of the expansion, so a lot of people had a lot of really good gear. So suddenly turning on this scaling for this one area, it made sense to me, because it's like, oh yeah, it's got to be a challenge because these guys are hard. Like, it's a new set of it's like a reset almost for.
But people also had overpowered legendaries. People had two legendaries and an artifact weapon that was powered up beyond belief.
Right.
So you were like miniature gods. So it made sense that the challenge would like rise to meet that. But this is like everybody's starting over fresh.
Because like it's just like. Yeah, it just feels like it's a wrong use of it. They should have either tweaked the numbers or maybe waited to turn it back on. I don't know.
Or they make the curve of gear to the curve of challenge too steep and not parallel enough. Like, it almost feels like, and this is hard to convey on podcast because it's audible and not visual, but it kind of feels like, so let's say challenge is like a diagonal line. It feels like the gear curve is just like way above that challenge and then just doesn't come down to meet it at any point.
Yeah.
And so it just feels off from what you're perceiving as the game and the difficulties. And it seems so fundamental that you need to make those two experiences a lot closer. You need to make that gear curve closer to the
and
challenge.
The problem is that they recently like got asked this during their like Twitch Q&A thing. The developers of WoW, and they said, like, well, you know, if you look at the numbers, you greatly, you know, outpower the enemies, you know, at these levels. So it's they scale really slowly. So, you know, the numbers say it's fine. And it's like, well, that's not, you can't balance the game off of like what the numbers say, like in certain aspects, I guess, because like if people feel like it's not very, if it's not very satisfying, then that's probably the issue. Who cares about the numbers?
Yeah. It's interesting because I never really thought about it so much that so much of the overall emotional impact of the story and the feeling of the story is still so undergirded by the actual mechanical feeling, like the mechanical design of the leveling up and the power scaling and the gear. Like, it, those two things are tied so tightly together that, like, World of Warcraft really wants to sell you on the idea that you're a powerful champion. So it's, I would say this is almost a little bit of, like, ludonarrative dissonance.
Oh, no.
The game is specifically providing you with a story experience while completely negating it with something mechanically. Like,
it's very weird for World of Warcraft to have this much control over your feeling of being powerful and like denying it from you. It's such a new thing. Like, I know what happened last expansion.
On one hand, I would find that innovative because it's kind of a big like fuck you to like what the fantasy it's sold players.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they're not doing anything interesting with
it. Yeah, like there's no Argus.
So I don't
like
care.
If it was another Argus situation, sure, but there's no narrative. Like the narrative is like, you're really getting strong. Wow. But I'm not. I feel the same way as I did 10 levels ago.
Because the interesting part about the denouement of the story of Argus was that you sacrificed your ultra powerful weapon in order to seal Sargeras away. And that is a great way of taking someone's extremely powerful weapons away from them in both a story and a mechanical sense. They basically said, we're not going to have artifacts in the next expansion, but we're going to find a story reason for you to not have them anymore.
And it makes sense because it really the Burning Legion have been an issue, like have been a threat in the World of Warcraft, like in the Warcraft universe forever. A huge threat, big cosmic threat. So dealing with them
makes
sense.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's that's cool. That's a really cool way of bringing story and mechanics together. But now it's like, I don't know what they're doing with this.
It feels like they really thought it was a cool system and then just designed the new expansion from the start with it implemented, and that just didn't, like, they didn't think about it that hard, it feels like.
And they didn't tweak the numbers correctly, which is really weird, because now I'm just like, there's very few things to do, because the leveling content was technically like start to finish 6 hours, and there's world quests, there's island expeditions.
Oh god, and island expeditions are garbage, so.
And you have to be eye level 308 to even get into
Heroics. Which I am, but I still kill things at the same speed you do, I'm pretty sure. Like,
I'm pretty sure. So, like, there's just not a lot of things to do right now. There's not even, like, raids, so...
Yeah, there's stuff to do, but you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it, because it feels hard. So, good job, World of Warcraft.
Plus, the other thing, too...
You made this beautiful new expansion, and half of the people that play this game are like, I don't know what I should be doing right now, because I don't feel good about
it at all. Part of, like, some of the issue, like, and that we won't... I don't need to go deep into this, but I think I actually do run into the issue of, like... There's a loop to this game, and if it takes a certain amount of time over and over again, I actually don't want to play, because, like, it's boring. Like, there has to be a speed to it. There has to be, like, it has to be, like, hasty enough to get me through, like, because, like, RPGs are often, like, a repeated sort of thing, right? Like, the same loop. I mean, that's games, I guess, but it, like, if it takes so long, then there's other more satisfying things to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, enough yelling about RPGs. I think we kind of have tapped that vein a little hard this week, but we kind of wanted to sort of top off the show on kind of a lighter note.
My brilliant idea.
You're brilliant. Okay, so Tyler, tell us about your brilliant idea. And I think people listening to the podcast should like write us in at makeitsoundfictional@gmail.com if they agree or disagree with this, because I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, I forget. How did this start? I forget now. Oh, I was watching a video about like the last Blockbuster, and I thought it was sort of interesting how the last Blockbuster, like any video store, not just the last Blockbuster, is kind of interesting, because you go into there and unlike Netflix or something, you just like, you could ask for like recommendations from people. Like they could just give you like these ideas of what to watch.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking like, wait, that's sort of like a Spotify playlist. Like somebody, you know, curates these songs that they like. And then I was just like, wait a minute. Why doesn't Netflix just have playlists? Like, why don't people have like public ways to link a list of a bunch of like Netflix, like episodes, movies, whatever. And then like share them, you know, like why doesn't any of those servers, like I don't think it, like Amazon doesn't have one, HBO doesn't have one, I don't think Showtime does, but the, what's the other one, Hulu doesn't have those either, and like I just don't see, like, okay, from Netflix's perspective of getting you to pay for their service, it probably makes sense, because people could link stuff, and maybe they could even have it, I mean this would be harder, but they could even have it to where it shows like a preview or something, like if you didn't have it, because that's what Spotify does. If you don't have Spotify, it does like a 30-second preview of the song. But like people would be like, oh, that's on Netflix, I didn't know. Or like, oh, here's my like, you know, Christmas movie list or whatever, you know. Like there's so many opportunities that you could do with like social features in Netflix, especially playlists, that I'm shocked.
Hulu does have some social features, I think. It does. Yeah,
does
I think
like
you
profiles?
Can add... Yes, okay. As profiles.
But for what
so
reason?
I think so that you can see what your friends are watching.
But not like a list.
And things that... I'm not sure.
I know you can make... you can make your own list on for your personal like enjoyment. Like you can make like
but
a...
But not
to watch
share
list.
With people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like... You can't share, you can't, like, see curation. And I know that, like, the curation is, like, a real hot topic right now, especially with, like, Steam curation being, like, garbage. But the thing that we were talking about in relation to Steam curation is that video games are such a different beast than, like, movies and TV shows. I cannot necessarily trust my friends in terms of, like, saying, well, you're going to really like this game because a lot of my friends are into this kind of mechanics versus this kind of story.
Yeah. It's
versus
like saying play Dark Souls,
that.
But also play Life is Strange. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Whereas I reasonably know that if my friends are like, you're really going to like this movie, it's because they know that I'm really into cheesy teen romance films or action films with like a really buff lady as the lead character or things like that. It's a lot more of a discreet sort of set
I was talking about this too. There's like often a lot of times where people are like, this is a television show that has a million seasons. Here's the like funny episodes to watch. Or the best ones.
Yeah, or like skip lists.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Skip lists are things, you know, watch this, that, or the other thing. Curation and social features could do so much with like Amazon and Netflix in particular, but they rely so much on the like algorithm.
Yeah, their own way of,
you know,
like, curating.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Of their own way of curating that I think that that's one of the reasons why they don't bring in social.
Yeah,
because
I wondered aloud to you. I was like, I wonder if they say like, hey, if you want your show to be like watched more on Netflix, then we'll include it as like a higher priority on our algorithm.
Yeah, because that's what Spotify
does. That's what Spotify does. So I assume maybe Netflix does that. We don't actually know. But if they do, then it would make sense why they don't do playlists and stuff. But
yeah, which is funny because like there's this site called like Letterboxd or whatever that lets people just make lists of like. And I've seen
a lot of funny ones
on there, like movies featuring nerdy brainiac male character who desperately wants a girlfriend but doesn't know how to treat women right, like just funny stuff like that. Like, granted, I wouldn't want to watch any of those films, but it's a really good way of it's like really good joke construction, but it also is kind of
with these like on it, you know, in my head.
Yeah. But it also kind of works as a very like light way of identifying some interesting tropes and sort of archetypes and patterns in media that I find really compelling that doesn't require you to go to TV Tropes, which is quite possibly the most obnoxious site on the fucking planet.
Yeah.
So,
and it just like, there's tons of people out there that already make like, here's the best horror movies on Netflix, but they always have to do like weird links or like just a list of the movies. Then you have to go search for them. And if they're not even on Netflix anymore, like if they just had their own built-in playlist that you could link, like it'd be
like,
perfect.
What if it would be perfect if I could say like, okay, so I really love listening to like, pop culture happy hour on NPR. Okay, that's like one of my favorite podcasts because I love all of the critics that they have on there. What if I could go to Netflix and search NPR pop culture happy hour and see Linda Holmes's favorite movies or like Matt Zollersite's favorite movies or like this, that, and the other thing. There's so many people that like I want to
sort of see what they're into,
see what they're into that aren't even like my friends, but are just like known people. That's the reason that Steam curation is such garbage is because I don't care what most game people have to, what their picks are. But man, movie critics, there's definitely some movie critics and media critics that I absolutely trust their taste and I really like where their head is at. So I want to see their stuff.
Yeah. And like, it's, I mean, I know that, like, okay, yes, it's, like, another way Netflix could probably get a bunch of more information from you. Like, you know, if you're making this list with this movie and this movie, then typically people will probably think these movies are alike in some way. Or, you know, like, the algorithm could probably learn a bunch. But, like, you know, regardless of, like, Netflix's power in that, it's just, I think any service should be doing this because it seems like, I don't know, I just don't understand why nobody is doing it. I mean, I know it's more of an investment in terms of, like, time than, like, a song. But, you know, a lot of people stream stuff now. So being able to have that, I don't know, because like, I feel like, honestly, I'd probably watch more things if you gave me a playlist of like, these are the like good movies on Netflix. You should just watch some of these or whatever. I'd probably watch them over you just saying like, yeah, you should see this at some point. Because I just have that list constantly. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I could just click it, you know, it'd be so easy.
Yeah, because I'm constantly doing, like, I have in a tab on my Google Keep tab, I have a list of movies I want to watch and shows I want to check out, but also a list of, like, things that I want to, like, write about. So, man, wouldn't that be so cool if you're a person who writes about TV and movies and you had a whole list of, like, here's the stuff that I am going to be writing about or whatever, here, just watch it, and then you can kind of, like, follow along or whatever. It's Yeah,
it's untapped. I don't know why they don't have it.
Me either. Maybe Netflix will get in contact with us and tell us.
I feel like they probably would have thought about it at this point, but maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. But if you should tell us if you think that Netflix should have social features and curation. Let us know.
And also what your stupid list would be.
Yeah, what would your lists be? What would your list look like?
Mine would be really stupid. Mine would be like something, I don't know, funny probably.
Mine would be teen comedies I think are funny and extremely gay ass films that won't make you cry.
That won't make you cry.
It won't make you cry. I don't want to watch sad gay movies. I want to watch happy gay movies. Which, by the way, that means I am going to watch Ocean's 8 at some point this weekend. Because it's on streaming.
Oh, is
now.
It?
Yeah. And I need me some Anne Hathaway. And I need me some Cate Blanchett.
Can you just have a playlist with like just 8 movies on it that are just Ocean's 8?
All the best films from Anne Hathaway, Sandra Bullock, Cate Blanchett, Rihanna. That would be cool. I like that. Yeah, well, that's what Netflix already suggests to me is like strong female character movies. Yeah. So yeah, let us know. I think that is that's gonna about do us for this week though. So Tyler, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm also on Twitch, which my Twitch is OtterXPop, but we're both on the Blizzard Watch Twitch, which is the same, which is Blizzard Watch. What else am I? Oh, I'm on YouTube. What is my YouTube thing? Oh, it's youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. And I also write for Blizzard Watch every day, so you can see any of my writing about Blizzard games. I haven't complained about the WoW scaling, but I might soon.
You can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch. You can also find me on Twitch as Apple Cider Witch, also at streaming at Blizzard Watch, which is twitch.tv Blizzard Watch. Also, if you like the show, you can follow us on Twitter for the show at MISFcast at Twitter. MISFcast on Twitter. You can also get us where any fine podcasts are played, but also please rate and review us on iTunes. We'll read your reviews on the show. Also, if you want to send any questions or your Netflix social curation lists to makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. Also, we're super helped out when you talk to your friends about the show and retweet all of our tweets and everything like that. So please keep doing that. It's super appreciated. Just tell everybody that you heard this new cool podcast called Make It Sound Fiction. Share it with all your friends. Make them listen to it. Pay them if you have to.
I just had an idea, by the way.
Okay.
If I kicked you from the podcast, I could call it Make It Sound Tyler, and then the Twitter account could be MISFcast. And that's like better than MISF.
Yeah, but no one wants to listen to just you talk,
okay,
Tyler. Okay, we'll see you next week. Bye.